So the scripture is taken from Isaiah chapter 9, beginning at verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Calvin Coolidge was our 30th president. He was born in Plymouth, Vermont, and he was known as a man of few words. In fact, sometimes he would be interviewed for an hour, and he would only say yes or no. And somebody asked him, how come you're doing that? He said, even when I say yes, it fires him up for another 20 minutes. So Calvin Coolidge, one night he was at a dinner, and this young lady, attractive young lady, sat next to him, and she says, I have a bet with a friend of mine that I can get you to say more than three words. And he looked at her and he said, you lose. He's also famous for going to church. He was a Republican governor. He worked his way up in Massachusetts, of all places, was a Republican governor who didn't say much. You don't see that much anymore, do you? But he was famous for going to church, too. He believed in going to church. And he went to church one Sunday, and he got home, and his wife said to him, or somebody said to him, so what was the sermon about? Sin. He's against it. I got news for you, maybe, that God is also against sin. He's not only against it, he hates it. And he is going to eradicate it from this world, and it's never going to raise its ugly head again in the new world. So he's getting a people ready to populate that new world. And this is why God became a man. Now, when I say God became a man, a better way to explain that is that God took on humanity, okay? Jesus, we know him as the Son of God, but he became the Son of God when he was begotten of a virgin. You know, these scholars, they're always trying to improve the Bible, I think, and sometimes I think they don't improve it. They might put a little glitch in it, okay? The King James says that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. Well, that wasn't good enough for him, so now he is the one and only Son of God. But see, begotten captures it better because he's a human. He becomes human. Now, why did he have to become human? Because it was humans that sinned. God, obviously, cannot die, but humans have got to pay. See, here's the deal. Every time you and I sin, if we're not believers, and our debt is canceled, if you're not a believer, and every time you sin, that's an offense against God. That's an offense against God. You're building up this tremendous debt that you can't pay. And if you can't pay, you die. Die means you're separated from God forever. This is serious stuff. But we have an answer. We have a serious answer. Jesus Christ came, and he was born of a virgin. You know, it was common knowledge that the Bible taught that the Messiah was going to come. Israel was God's chosen people. They still are. He's still got plans for them. And it was known by the prophets that one day, Messiah was going to be born of a virgin. It's interesting that when the Magi come and they're looking for, where is this king of the Jews? Oh, well, he's right over here in Bethlehem. They haven't gone over there themselves, but they know what it says, okay? So he's born of a virgin for a very good reason. And I'm going to explain that to you. When I was in the fifth grade, many years ago, let me be the first to say that, okay? It was so long ago that the doctor came to your house. When's the last time you had a doctor even call you back and say, oh, by the way, the tests are in, and here's the result, you're going to live. No. They might call you up and say, you owe me money, but they don't come to the house. But here's the deal. For about 3 weeks, I had a swollen knee, and my brother and I were always wrestling. We were doing all the things that kids do. So my mother thought it was just a normal thing. And so finally, she called the doctor because it was very painful. It was swelling up more, and the other knee was starting to swell. So the doctor comes to the house, and he looks at my knee, and he brings out a stethoscope. What's with that? You going to put that on my knee? No, he put it on my heart. Because what I had was rheumatic fever. Rheumatic fever happens this way. I've learned this since. You have an infection, like I had a sinus infection, and your body starts building up antibodies against it, but instead of attacking what's really the problem, it attacks your heart valve. And this makes your joints swell, high fevers. I was in bed for 3 months. Now, this doctor diagnosed it correctly. See, we thought the knee was a problem. That's just a symptom. What's your problem? What's your problem when it comes to sin? I believe the Bible teaches everybody got a pet sin. You know, the Bible says that each one of us has turned to our own way. There's something that appeals to us that's sinful, and that's going to be our weakness, and it probably will be till the day we go to be with the Lord. Okay? So this symptom was only indicative of the fact that I had a heart problem. See, this is why it's not enough to be forgiven by God. Somebody says, well, I'll settle for that. But see, there's something more that comes with the package. It comes with a package that you're not only forgiven, but you become a new creature in Christ. Now, suppose you had anybody got a pet rattlesnake? I got to tell you, there are some weird people in this world, and they keep snakes, okay? To me, that's weird, all right? And they're always getting out, you know. I don't know where my python went. Can you help me find him? He's 21 feet long. You should be able to spot him, okay? I don't like snakes. I don't like spiders and snakes. Okay, you know that song. But here's the deal, okay? This pet rattlesnake that you have, let's say he bites you, okay? And you go to the hospital and you get cured and you come back and there's your pet rattlesnake. And you say, it's okay, little snake. It's okay that you bit me. I forgive you. He's got you again. See, this is why your nature has to be changed. This is why you must be born again. There was a great old preacher, and every sermon he said, you must be born again. One guy got tired of him, and he says, how come you're always saying you must be born again? And he looked him right in the eye and said, you must be born again. Okay? See, when you're born again, you receive a new nature made in the image of Jesus Christ himself. Okay? Just as Mary was overshadowed by the power of the Holy Spirit, and what came from her womb was a man without sin. Now, the reason for that is, speaking of snakes, back in the garden, the old tempter in the form of a snake came, and he sunk his fangs into the jugular of the human race in the person of Adam. He was a representative of the whole human race. And that venom went into his veins and has passed on to everybody else. You do not have to teach your children to be naughty. They know how to do that all by themselves, okay? And today you've got psychologists, oh, don't upset the little boy. Let him grow. And then he'll become a monster that you got to put behind bars, okay? Listen, the first defense against the next generation going to hell in a handbasket is the parents. You got a responsibility as a parent to make sure your children know the difference between right and wrong, okay? So you're to do that. So the idea is that implanted within you is a new nature if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. You see that? That's why he became a man. Because when the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary in her womb, there was planted the seed of the Word of God. So when he was born without that corrupt blood. He didn't have a human father. You see, that sin nature is passed on by the father. So God's got a whole new race coming here, okay? This Jesus never sinned. Did you ever think about that? He never sinned once. in thought, word, or deed. He was the perfect child. Now, in that idea is the idea that he also grew as a person. He didn't automatically know as a human being, even though he's still God. We'll want to speak about that in a minute. But as a human being, he had to study the scriptures. And he learned from the scriptures who he was. It tells us in Hebrews, in the volume of the book it is written of me, I have come to do your will, O God. What is God's will? That there would be a human sacrifice paying for the debt of humanity who had sinned against God. You know, we take sin lightly, don't we? We joke about it sometimes. We joke about hell. But Jesus didn't take it lightly. And when he was in that garden, and I love going there. You ever been there? I mean, in your mind. You want to go there. And you see the Savior taking on the idea in his own heart and mind that has come to pass that he is going to be separated from his Father for the very first time. See, we were born separated. So we kind of get accustomed to it. We know people all around us, they don't care about God. They don't care about Jesus. It's only by the grace of God that we do. But he understood what he was going to do. He wasn't afraid of physical death. But to go before the Father, to hang on that cross, and have Psalm 22 be fleshed out in himself. My God, not my Father, because he's standing in for us. He's standing in for sinners. This is what a sinner is going to say at the end when he faces God and he's not saved. My God, why have you forsaken me? He was forsaken for our sake. He who knew no sin became sin for us. What a trade. What a swap. You got to get in on this, okay? You say, oh, I'm not worthy. I know that. That's what grace is all about, okay? Just grab a hold and say, I'm going to believe that Jesus died in my place because the Bible says that he died for every human being. Well, does that mean that everybody is automatically forgiven? No, that's universalism. We know the rest of the scripture. You must be born again. You have to receive that. Reckon yourselves as believers to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God forevermore. Forevermore. Most of us kind of wander around a little bit of twilight. You know, well, I'm not too sure. Well, let's get sure. Where are you going to get sure? You're not going to get it from TV or the movies or anything else. You're going to get it from the scriptures. So Jesus became a man so he could pay the debt of man so that he could set you and I free and cause us to be born again. So God is not only against sin, he's going to eradicate it forever. Do you see that with this new world coming? By the way, I hope you know there's a new world coming. This one's getting a little shabby around the edges. Amen? All right. We've seen our own country going downhill. That's because the pulpit is not preaching righteousness. That sin will be paid for. And that even as believers, if you sin, as you sow, so shall you reap. Okay? Not going to lose your salvation. Oh, I'm good. I got my salvation. Yeah, I got that. But you know what? Lot was saved too. And he lost his family. He lost his position. He lost his honor. And he lost the opportunity to serve God and to bring other people to him. There he was right in the middle of a mission field. And he said, boy, these people are pretty rotten. Meanwhile, he's more concerned about money than he is about getting those people saved. Okay. Listen, I submit to you, if the church starts preaching the word of God in the power of God, that people will be affected. Does that mean everyone will be saved? No. But you know what the church is supposed to be doing? It's supposed to be light to those in darkness, bringing people out of the darkness of this world and getting them educated in Jesus Christ so that they live lives that please him, reach out to other people. At the same time, it's supposed to be salt to hold back corruption. You see that? When the church doesn't speak out against homosexuality, against lesbianism, against all the bad stuff, and it's bad because God never designed people to live like that. Okay? So if the church, now obviously you can go in the wrong direction here. What we want is balance. We want to show that that cross, that Jesus on that cross, shows the wrath of God against sin. And by the way, the Bible gives this reasonable thing. If God did not spare Jesus when he came before him with our sin on him, what makes you think he's going to spare you when you come with your sin? Do you see that? Oh, I don't like to have religion shoved down my throat. Hey, look, the ark is sailing. Do you want to drown or you want to get on the ark? Hello? Is that a reasonable request? Well, I don't like anybody. We're not talking about anybody. We're talking about God Almighty. He cares about you, okay? Now, each one of us as believers here, we can grow. We can become more like Jesus. And when I look in the mirror, I think, I need to be more like Jesus, okay? But he can do that through the power of the Spirit as we embrace the truth of what he's done. I don't know about you, but I got a few go-to verses. And I hope you have a few of those. When the bottom falls out, take me to Romans 8. Paul, I am persuaded. Okay? Now, the idea you're persuaded means that you didn't always feel this way. And those of you who have some doubts and you're not sure, get persuaded, okay? Be persuaded by the Word of God. I am persuaded that neither death, that's the big fear everybody has. Don't lie. You're not looking forward to, oh boy, gonna die today. Hallelujah! Gonna die! Gonna be fun! No fun dying. Dying is a death. It's an enemy. It's not pleasant. You don't wake up saying, hey, just a few more days, I'm out of here. How are you getting out of here? I'm going to die. Oh, how about replacing that with the idea of the rapture? He could come at any moment. How many people believe that? He could come right now. Now, only the good Christians are going, right? No! I'm not ready to settle for that. I'm not too sure I'm a good Christian, all right? But the body's going. He's not taking a truncated body. He's taking every believer. He's taking the people who are willing to give their lives. He's taking those who are not quite sure they want to give their lives. But they believe in Jesus Christ, and they're the bride of Christ, and we're going with them. We're going with them. I have a friend that doesn't believe that. He's a preacher. And I looked at him, and I said, Phil, I love you, but you can apologize on the way up. I do love them, okay? Some people say, oh, you shouldn't divide over this. I'm dividing over this because this is God's truth, and I want all of God's truth. How about you? All of it, all right? I understand that people are at different stages and so forth, but you know what? We got the complete manuscript now, and there's no reason that why anybody can't understand that with the help of God, all right? All right, so this is what Jesus did. He made it possible for us to become new creatures. And the Bible says, God in his foreknowledge, he knows everybody that's going to be in that church. He didn't make them be in there. He knows they're going to be in there. And he has predestined that church to become just like Jesus. Not God. We're not Mormons here. I don't care. We're not Mormons. That's a cult. It's about time we said it. They're a bunch of liars, and they've been deceived by the liar. Okay? And so have the Jehovah's Witnesses. Anybody that doesn't recognize Jesus Christ as the Son of God is a liar, especially if they're trying to teach the Word of God. I don't care. What do I got to lose? I'm going to be 83 in July. And not only that, I'm anticipating the rapture before that. You know, if he came right now, I'd say, well, God, I stood for you very truly there in the congregation. You know, it wasn't too hard to do, but I did do it, look. No, we're not going to be doing that. We're going to be glorifying the one who came and died for us. Do you know what they said about Jesus? They sent the temple guard after him. By the way, forget the outline, all right? Right? Chris is shaking his head. No. But yeah, they sent the temple god. These little incidents that happened in Jesus' life, they can give you such insight into Jesus. They sent the temple god. See, these are the Roman gods that were assigned to the temple, and they did what the priest said to keep order and so forth. They said, okay, we want you to go arrest Jesus. So they go, and they're going to arrest Jesus, right? They're there with their mouths open as he's teaching. And so they come back, and the priest say, how come you didn't bring him? You don't understand. Nobody ever spoke like this man. Nobody ever spoke like this man. Wow. I want to tell you something. Paul said when he went into Corinth, he went in alone. He was scared to death. But he said, I determined to preach nothing among you except the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I did that with fear and trembling. And you can read it for yourself. Those words, some commentators want to make it that it was a result of what Paul preached. And that's the miracle of God. No, no, no. He said, I didn't preach with wisdom of words. I used the word of God, and it got those people. It stabbed them right in the heart. And they saw their need, and they came to Jesus Christ because he's alive and well, and he is the head of the church, and he is the one who's calling you to salvation. And if you're saved, he's calling you to a deeper experience of that. And we can have that through the power of the Spirit. What people need to know and what they need to see and they need to grab is that we have known the love of Jesus. How many have known the love of Jesus? Okay. And we believe the love of Jesus. We're going to keep on going in that love. Go on in that love. Somebody said it's like hearing your name over a speaker in a big auditorium. And it's your name and you're being called. And it's God doing that. Okay. So he wants all of us. He wants all of us. You realize that he's jealous over your attention? He's a jealous husband, a jealous bridegroom. He wants all of you. All of you. He wants all of me. And we're so lackadaisical. Oh, I got time. How do you know that? You don't know how much time you have. God's got that in his own plans. How much time? It could be that Jesus comes. That's the first thing you want to think about when you think about death. It could be he comes. Comes right away, okay? You hear about the guy who's an older man, and he was in his 90s, and so, see, there's always hope for us old guys. He's in his 90s, he's going to get married. And so he goes and he has a checkup with a doctor. And the doctor says, well, you're in pretty good health. He says, but you sure you want to do this? He says, what do you mean? He says, well, you know, there's always death. He goes, look, if she dies, I get another one. I like that optimism, okay? All right. How many have blown it with God on a regular basis? This hand went up first, okay? You know that today God is calling you to forget that? Forget the past and grab today and have an experience with God? How are you going to do that? I've had some of the best experiences when I've been all by myself reading the Word of God. When God opens that Word to you and you say, wow, awesome, I didn't see that. Do you realize how many miracles are in this Word? How he wants to teach you and show you how things fit. And you just marvel at the Word of God. You marvel at the Word of God. Okay. So Jesus came because Adam blew it. Now there are some people who think that Adam, well, it does say, Adam was not deceived. Eve was deceived. She was deceived and she went along with Satan. And then she offered to her husband. Now Adam is looking at Eve, and he probably remembers the Word of God. In the day that you eat thereof, you will die. So he knows she's separated from God already. In an act of love, he commits this sin. Now, there's no reason he shouldn't have done that, but he becomes a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, if you go down there and you rescue those people, you're going to have to die. And Jesus went. Jesus came. Jesus was never deceived about where he was going. It's interesting, you know, speaking of Christmas, that he was wrapped in swaddling clothes. Some of the scholars teach us that that was actually the clothing that they wrapped a dead body in. If that be true, it's symbolic of the fact that he was set to die. He came to die. The Bible says he set his face like a flint, and he didn't turn his face from those who ripped out his beard. That's what they did on the way to Calvary. He said, nothing's going to stop me from going there. I'm going there first and foremost to fulfill the scriptures to please my Father, because I love my Father. Secondly, I'm going there because Dennis Clough needs somebody to die for him. He's never going to make it any other way. And I love Dennis, and I love everybody else by extension. Okay? And I'm going to go there. I'm going to die for him and for them. I'm going to die for the whole world. I'm going to wipe out the sin of the world. Now, spoke earlier today, Mark was teaching, about Jesus being the judge of the whole earth. The reason Jesus is the judge of the whole earth, think about this, all the debt has already been paid. Paul said, we're in the ministry of reconciliation. God is reconciled because of what Jesus did. He's not mad about your sin anymore because it's been satisfied. Now you be reconciled to God. In other words, Jesus was enough for God. He should be enough for us. Amen? Okay, so you're reconciled to God through what Jesus did. There are some people who will not receive that. Now, Jesus has already paid for their sin because he had to do that. If he hadn't done that, the books of God would not be balanced, because you suffering in hell forever doesn't take away one sin. See, one sin, one hell. Okay? One sin, one death. So, Jesus cleared the books. The only offense that a sinner can do now that winds him up in hell is refusing Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus is going to be sitting on the throne, the great white throne, because it's all about him. What did you do with Jesus? And I want to tell you, in case some of you are getting a little scared maybe, okay, maybe that causes some concern. Understand that it's simple faith in Jesus that justifies you forever. But you want to embrace that. You want to grow in that. You know, you want to grow in that as God has called you. He's saved you. He's equipped you to understand the Word of God. What a marvelous thing through the Spirit. Okay, so that's why Jesus came at Christmas. They had a young woman who was very humble. Her name was Mary. And every young woman, they tell us at that time, was looking to be the mother of the Messiah. And she was just humbled and blown out of the water. And she said, oh, good, now I can be the co-redemptress with Jesus. No, she didn't. What she said was, God, my Savior, has given me this great blessing. She understood. She understood. Okay, so we have to close, but you know what? The story of Christmas is not closed. It goes on, and God is determined to remove sin, and he gave the very best that he had, his own son. He prepared Jesus for death. I want one more point. I've got to get this in. This is what preachers always do. I'm going to end. Just a minute. No. Don't leave yet. Okay. But here's what you want to see. When Jesus did all his mighty works, he did not do them through his own power as the second person of the Trinity. Think about that, okay? He didn't begin his public ministry until the Holy Spirit came on him at his baptism. Remember that? And from that time on, he was empowered to preach the gospel. And it tells us that through the eternal Spirit, he presented himself without spot as a sacrifice. Another place tells us the Father prepared him without spot. So as the point of this is that we can do all things through the power of the Spirit. Jesus was modeling that. If Jesus had done it just on his own, we'd say, no way I can ever do that. But when he says, you can do all things through Christ, the Bible says that, he's showing that. He didn't use his God powers, if you will. He didn't stop being God. But his humanity was invaded by the Holy Spirit, prepared and carried along. Okay? This is what we want to do. We want to be full of the Spirit. Being full of the Spirit has a corresponding idea of being full of the truth of the Scriptures. So you're not doing something crazy and blaming it on the Holy Spirit. God told me to spin naked on my head in the middle of the aisle. Otherwise, I don't really love them. No, no, no. There's all kinds of crazy stuff happening. Let's get back to the Word of God. Amen? And the Spirit uses the Word to instruct His people and to empower us and to give us that sense that we are invincible in the Spirit. In the Spirit. Okay. Now, some of you might be hurting today. Okay, I'm going to tell you a personal story. It's the best ones I know. Okay. When I was a freshman in high school, I went out for football. Now, we had always played football in the field. We tackled each other. We bit each other's legs. And, you know, we were pretty horrible people, okay? So I was used to that. But then they put us in a uniform. I got to tell you, I felt like I was invincible. Shoulder pads out to here. Helmet. What's a helmet? Because I got to admit, our helmets looked like World War I pilots, you know? So I was invincible, man. I'm strutting around. I'm used to contact, but I felt like I can't be hurt. And I was ramming into people, and the coaches were praising me. Oh, look at this. Look what he did. You got in his way. Get out. And they were, like, praising me up, okay? The next day, I go in there. I can hardly move. I guess I'm not invincible, okay? And the coach is on me. What's wrong with you? You played like a champ yesterday. You played like a chump today. What's wrong with you? Believe it or not, I was shy. I never told anybody what was going on inside. So here's what I'm saying. We're invincible when we're in the armor of God. But sometimes the armor slips a little bit, okay? I just want to tell you that God is a Father who cares about you. And He wants you to overcome. He wants us to overcome. He wants us to have the joy of seeing people come to Christ and to grow in Christ. Okay? And He'll help us. He understands our pain. But don't you dare focus on your pain. Focus on the Word of God. And by the way, don't focus on something God did in your life 20 years ago. I'm glad He did it, okay? I'm sick of hearing it. not really. But you know what I'm saying? Let's get a new experience. Let's have a fresh, charismatic word here, anointing of the Spirit, okay? The way we come close to God. What better time than Christmas? Amen? Amen. Can we have a word of prayer?
Yes.
Love you. Love you in Jesus Christ. When I'm doing this, I feel like I love you. Don't bother me in the parking lot, though. We gotta stay full of that Spirit, okay? And I think it does permeate this church, and I hope it keeps on growing, and we keep on loving one another, okay? All right. Praise God.